Carson in the Morning.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all. 8-7-10.
I love it. I love it. I am happy for Chicago. I am happy for the Cubs. I'm happy for myself because Tom Becca has to buy me a steak now. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Nothing like seeing history. 69 degrees later on, 70 tomorrow, 69 on Saturday, 65 for the Chiefs game on Sunday. Glorious, glorious, glorious. 59 degrees downtown. It is 60 degrees in Parkville. It is 59 degrees in Peculiar. At the bottom of the hour, two special guests live in studio. We got Kevin Yoder, congressman, and Steve Scalise, who is House Majority Whip. They will be live in the studio. Live in the studio. Your questions are welcome. You can text them at 816-576-7710, or you can call when they're here. All right? Or you can call when you're here. But it's going to be exciting. We just had the Capitol Police in here doing the once-over, doing the once-over. And it's kind of cool. Very, very cool. We appreciate their time. I know it's busy, busy, busy. Obviously, a lot of other stuff going on as well. Before that, we're going to get to, apparently, Lewisburg is the new Chipotle. I'm going to share the details on that. And also, in just a second, a local story that mimics The Blind Side, the movie with Sandra Bullock. Really good. But we have an updated version of our Donna Brazile song. Donna Brazile, of course, interim chair of the Democrat Party, who fed Hillary Clinton's campaign debate questions before two debates with Bernie Sanders. Here's the updated version.
On the card. I did not receive any questions from CNN.
Come on.
Brazile, she got caught cheating once again. She got the axe from CNN. She helped out Hillary, her friend. She fed those questions to her then. Those leaks exposed her many lies. Made CNN realize
your information is totally false.
Their crooked ways were compromised.
I am not going to try to validate falsified information.
And now, as Donna's told to hit the road, they've gotten rid of that load. Just watch them implode. Suffer. They will. Because of Brazil.
You're like a thief that want to bring into the night the things that you found that was in his gutter.
Jim Gossett, a friend of mine, did that. I will post the audio from my podcast on our Facebook page if you'd like to share that with friends. Let's make it go viral, shall we? And before the end of the show, we'll definitely hear our Hillary Witchcraft song. Get a lot of requests for that. Local story that I thought was just one of the best things I've seen. Just one of the best things I've seen in a while. As somebody who is an advocate for foster kids and adopted kids, the story of Chester Graves, who's a local football player, and his connection with his coach is simply remarkable. And I love it. And here's the report exclusively on KCTV 5.
Everybody wants Chester Graves.
Notre Dame and Wisconsin, Missouri, Kansas, Kansas State.
At 6'5", 230 pounds, the lightning-quick Park Hill senior is one of the nation's top football recruits. And while Chester lives with his dad just a few miles from the high school, people around the program say they've never, ever seen either of his parents at any school or sports activity. But Chester has received valuable support from a completely unexpected source. Former Royals pitcher Jeremy Guthrie met Chester when he was a 15-year-old sophomore.
His message to me was, you know, just keep striving, you know, be the person that you want to be and not the person that other people want you to be.
But if Guthrie is a mentor, head coach Josh Hood's family is much, much more.
The Hood family is my family. I
love it.
You know, they take me under their wing, you know.
The coach and his wife, who also teaches at Park Hill, have accepted Chester as one of their own.
He's kind of a family guy who has been brought into my family and my wife and my kids, and the service his brother and sister.
It was the Hoods who escorted Chester on senior night. And teammate Khalid Smith sees a special connection between the player and his coach.
A lot of people don't know this, but Coach Hood didn't have an easy childhood either. So him and Chester relate in that sense.
No, I know, because you're the coach, and that's why I'm the player.
That's right. That's why they pay me the big bucks to coach you.
And we feel like this is a good home for him. This is a place where we will teach you character, we will teach you values, we will teach you morals here at Park Hill High School.
Teammates, coaches, teachers, and concerned friends. Together, they've helped shape Chester Graves into the successful student and athlete he's become. They make up his family.
Bravo. Nice piece of work by KCTV5. Chester Graves, Coach Josh Hood. Wow, wow, wow. I hope that Chester Graves goes on to college. He will. And I hope he gets a pro contract. And I hope someday his neglective parents approach him in his fame and fortune and ask for whatever. And he says, no, you're not my mom and dad. My mom and dad, well, it's Coach Hood and his wife. I love it. Bravo. Bravo. I want to see if we can get these guys in the studio. This is a great story. Fantastic. Foster and adopt, guys. Foster and adopt. You can save a life. Traffic and weather. Let's do it now.
Carson in the morning on KCMO.
This morning. Congressman Kevin Yoder, House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise joining us live in the studio. We're talking about the election, what's happening with the email scandal in the Clinton family. Also, check out our Facebook page. I put a bunch of stuff up there today, including this terrific story about Park Hill High School football coach Josh Hood and Chester Graves. It's up there. What an inspiration. I love it. I love it. I love that Josh Hood is stepping in where this guy's parents stepped out, and it's really uplifting and awesome. By the way, this Sunday, there is a 5K for Foster Adopt Connect. I am a big supporter. I'm adopted. Yes, my parents won life's lottery, and it is going on at Waterfall Park Independence, 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Come out and join us. You can walk or you can run it, and it goes to help out this great organization. Go to fosteradopt.org, fosteradopt.org. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the congressman and the House Majority Whip, apparently some people who went to Lewisburg, which, by the way, is lovely this time of year. It really is. I like Lewisburg. Lewisburg's fantastic. I have a good friend who lives in Lewisburg. And the Somerset Ridge Winery is west of there, and it's quite lovely. You should make it out this weekend, honestly. They actually make really good wine. And when I came here, I was like, Kansas wine, sure. Whatever, Kansas wine. Right, okay. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. All right, so there was an E. coli outbreak at the Cider Fest, and apparently this is a Shiga toxin-producing E. coli. That occasionally, I guess, lives in apple cider. Here's the story from Fox 4.
The Kansas Department of Health and Environment is investigating an outbreak of E. coli at the Lewisburg Cider Fest. The festival took place September 24th and 25th, as well as October 1st and 2nd. According to the cider mill, the health department tested the equipment and cider last week. The mill says all of those tests came back negative. According to the cider mill, the health department is now contacting the food vendors at the event.
Okay, so may not necessarily be the cider itself, although I've heard cider can be tricky. And I think they generally pasteurize it before they send it to grocery stores. If you're having it fresh, it ain't pasteurized. But, I feel bad for the cider mill. I don't think it's probably them. But anyway, if you went out there, you might want to, if you have diarrhea, or illness outside the intestinal tract, you might want to consider contacting the epidemiology hotline, 877-427-7317. All right. Oh, did you hear? Anthony Weiner is checked into a sex addiction treatment center after his sexting relationship with a 15-year-old girl triggered FBI investigation of him, wife Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton. So that's going on. I had heard that is part of a possible plea deal, Anthony Weiner turned over the laptop. I'm not sure if this is credible. I've heard it from a couple different people. But you're sexting a 15-year-old. This on the heels of being caught, by the way, in case you haven't heard this, in, I believe, 2011. 2011, he was messaging an underage girl. And apparently, according to WikiLeaks, John Podesta did nothing about it. John Podesta, now chairman of the Clinton presidential campaign, Neera Tanden, another advisor, were forwarded news of an investigation into Weiner's online contact with 17-year-old Delaware high school student Jennifer by Jennifer Palmieri, the current campaign communications director, in June 2011. When she wrote Podesta, he responded with the words, oof, like, oof. And apparently, the police visited his residence then to discuss the issue. And like I said, it sounds like the campaign might have known about it. I wonder if Homa knew about it. I don't know. Out of this, according to the UK Daily Mail, out of control Weiner, who has been sending sexually charged messages and obscene pictures to women and at least one teenage girls for years, is now in a treatment facility. The rehab center where Weiner, boy, that'd be a rough name to be in, a sex rehab center, huh? You know? Sure, your name's Weiner, right? Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, he's being treated, where he's being treated, they separate men and women. Probably a good idea. Just saying. And its program includes counseling for those addicted to cyber sex and exhibitionism, as well as addictions to anonymous sex and porn. Electronic devices are banned from the facility. That's probably a good idea, too. Oh, my Lord. This guy is such a creep. My God in heaven. Just such a creep. So he is he had been in rehab before. He went in before. Apparently, he apologized to his wife, and at the time, Homa was pregnant when they caught him sending pictures of his wiener to Sydney Leathers. Her name is Sydney Leathers, and he went into a rehab program in Florida at the time. So apparently, it didn't work. I don't think it's addiction. I think it's serious impulse control. That's what I think. All right, let's do traffic and weather. Come back in turn.
KCMO traffic.
Couple of issues: 49 northbound before North Cass Parkway, left lane closed for the accident there, and 49 northbound past 58 Highway, the right lane closed there. I'm Wendy. Right now, traffic.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
A cold front is pushing through this morning, and that is the reason why we have the mist and fog around. Those clouds should be breaking up into sunshiny skies this afternoon as temperatures go from 55 this morning to 69 with winds out of the north at 5 to 10 later today. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Lisa Teachman.
You might be part of a class action lawsuit. I will share details in just a moment. Right now, Mattress Firm's semi-annual sale is going on. It only happens twice a year. It's a big deal. You can get huge savings up to $600 on the best brands, Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Serta, Beautyrest, and more. And Queen mattress sets start as low as $179.99. So if you want to replace the mattress in the guest room, you could do that. Or the kids' room, you could do that. You could get your choice of Sealy Firm or Hampton and Rhodes pillow top queen sets for just $299.99. Also, I would recommend the split-base Tempur-Pedic adjustable king-size bed, which we have, which my wife got up in the middle of the night and cranked up my side because I was snoring. I'm sorry I was snoring. I'm working on it. Sorry. But she set me up a little bit, and that helped stop it. It's kind of cool. All right. It's going on right now, guys, and you can also get 5 years no-interest financing, 866-780-6220 for credit costs and terms, subject to credit approval. Mattress Firm semi-annual sale going on now at Mattress Firm. Save money. You will sleep happy again. After the bottom of the hour, 7:35, Congressman Kevin Yoder and House Majority Whip Steve Scalise live in studio. Your questions will be welcome. Kansas City could soon settle a class action lawsuit worth $2.4 million. I'm actually in two class action lawsuits right now. One of them is for Wells Fargo, for them doing, I guess, calls about mortgages. I don't know what the hell it was. I just signed the card and said, okay, sure, what the hell. And then there's another one for my Mazda. Just something. I don't know what it is, but anyway. You never get anything. It all goes to the trial lawyers. But you could win $25. Here's the story from KCTV 5.
It's just $25. Maybe you paid it. Chances are someone else you know did too. And so did thousands of others. Now it's a $2.4 million problem no one wanted to talk about this morning in the Finance Committee.
We're in closed session.
The matter went behind closed doors.
The city council is scheduled to vote on it tomorrow.
Aye. Opposed? We will hear this tomorrow.
It's a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of Gregory Johnson and others who paid $25 in those annoying court fees. That's not legal according to state law. But almost every court across the state has been charging people to cancel warrants. St. Louis charged $10, Kansas City $25. Tonight, there are class action lawsuits on both sides of the state.
Don't get too excited about your possible refund. Aww. Remember those red light refunds? $100 tickets were settled for $20. So if the math is similar in this case, $25 fees could be about $5.
$5. Woo-hoo-hoo! Wow. So if you you had an arrest warrant, you had a court date, you forgot it, you were charged $25. That's apparently not legal according to state law. So if you're a criminal who missed your court date, you could get $5. That's what that is. Did you get your free taco yesterday? I totally forgot about it yesterday. Taco Bell had the free Doritos Locos Taco in honor of a base stolen in like the first or second game. I don't remember who did it, but apparently there were free tacos everywhere. And I did not make it over to Taco Bell. I just didn't want to deal with it. Were there lines? I wonder. I bet you there were probably lines. Because it was like from 2 to 6. So you know there were people cutting in line. You know, like you come get a taco, then you come back in a fuzzy nose and glasses, you know, mustache. No, you're out of here. But it happened yesterday. One more thing before we break for the bottom of the hour. One organization that I've been involved with my entire life, pretty much, is the Salvation Army. Salvation Army is looking to fill time slots ringing bells from November the 11th through December the 24th. So they're going to be starting very shortly. The Salvation Army is a selfless and wonderful organization. The people who are in charge there basically live a life of poverty, and they endure this life to help so many of them. Major David Harvey, a divisional secretary of Salvation Army, says they need them. They need you right now. Funds raised through the Kettle Campaign support the Salvation Army for the coming year. All those services, disaster response, the homeless, emergency rent, utility, all that. Here is the website if you want to get signed up, and I'm going to do it too, all right? So let's do this. Let's really, really blow them away this year. It's ringkc.com, ringkc.com if you want to sign up. Any time would be greatly appreciated. And I'll just say, if you have some change, if you have anything, even if you left it in the car, don't walk by a Salvation Army bell ringer without dropping something in if you can afford it. All right? See if you can do that. All right, so coming up in just a few, we're going to be talking to Congressman Kevin Yoder and House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. We got him for about a half an hour, 7:35 to 8 o'clock. Be ready to call, guys. This is going to be fun. Carson in the Morning on a Thursday.
Carson in the Morning on KCMO.
Gotta let this kick in. There it comes. .735 on the nose on a Thursday morning Carson in the Morning radio program. As we promised, Congressman Kevin Yoder in the studio. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Glad to have you on. And
good to be here in person.
You've got to be blasted busy these days.
Well, there's a lot to do, a lot of people to talk to, and, you know, this district that I represent is small geographically, mm-hmm. but it's obviously just as big population-wise as every other district. We've got 700,000-plus people, so we're out shaking hands, talking to voters, and doing what we always do. What I've done every year that I've served is just work the district really hard and make sure that people know that I'm out there working for them.
We are the first stop on your what tour, sir?
The Yoder Voter Tour starts this morning, so we'll be barnstorming the district until the... last votes are counted on Tuesday, so mm-hmm. we're getting around to this is a suburban, urban, and rural district, and we'll be highlighting the very best of the district and our many diverse attributes and what we stand for and our values over the next 5 days. So coming to a stop near you.
By the way, Mike Ferguson joining me in the studio this morning. I always like to bring Mike in because
you guys like to double team.
We like to double team, absolutely. Yeah, hits you from both sides. Your opponent, Mr. Seide, has been doing everything he can to tie you into the governor. Mm-hmm. Is that resonating? And what, to me, it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, go ahead.
Well, I don't think it's resonating with people. I think it's a cheap political trick, and people know the difference between the government that represents them in Washington and the one in Topeka. I've never served with Governor Brownback in any capacity. He was in D.C. when I was here in Kansas, and then now I'm in D.C., and he's in vice versa. So I've never served with him in any capacity, and so it's just the whole campaign they're running has just been a total fabrication and a complete lie. And it's unfortunate because there are really important issues that need to be discussed. You know, I've been campaigning, actively, these last few weeks, and you've seen the TV ads out there. Yeah. There has yet to be a TV ad or a attack hit that discusses any vote that I've made while serving in Congress. It's all been about what the governor's done in Topeka. Yeah. And, that's what he's done. And let's discuss our record in Washington.
We had the governor on a couple weeks ago, and I don't know. I don't know the governor. I like his tax policy. It has the KC Red Star hacked off. It has every union, every teachers union angry and saying he's the worst thing since, Satan. But it appears that his tax policy is beginning to work. The revenue from last year has increased this year. It hasn't met the projections that they wanted. And I took the governor to task. I said, I wish you were more vocal about it. Because by not being vocal about it and letting the untruths, like, for instance, increases in spending for Kansas public schools increased to 10% since he took office. It hasn't been cut. It hasn't been cut. But he hasn't been vocal. Do you suppose him being more vocal about the positive, about business growth in Kansas? And listen, I live in Overland Park. It's just amazing. And they just got the American Royal, for instance. Do you suppose him being more vocal would be a benefit to other down-ticket candidates?
I don't know. To be honest with you, we're so focused on what's happening in Washington and how we can turn this country around. You know, we've watched the national debt grow, a post-recession malaise on this country where the economy hasn't grown. There are 94 million people that have dropped out of the workforce. And people are fed up with their country's government that's not working for them. So, my focus has been, how do we get Washington to work for the people it represents and not the other way around? How do we rein international debt? How do we grow and create jobs? How do we invest in the things that are important for our future? How do we create a strong national defense and defeat ISIS? I mean, there are key, really important national things going on here. And unfortunately, I have an opponent that doesn't understand how a bill becomes a law. Someone ought to send him a copy of Schoolhouse Rock, the other day.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm just the bill. Because he's completely confused between state and federal government. Yeah. And, what's his position on Guantanamo Bay? Does he want it to be closed and bring the terrorists here, like Nancy Pelosi, who's supporting him for speaker? What's his position on, tax policy? Does he want to keep increasing taxes like his party wants to? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many questions about federal issues. We don't even know what this guy stands for in anything. And so Kansans expect somebody who they know that works hard for them. And if you're campaigning and you haven't taken an issue stance on hardly any federal issues and you're not reaching out to people, what would you do if you're actually the congressman? And so I think people have a lot of concerns about that approach.
Before we can get to all that, of course, we have to get through Election Day, Congressman.
Right, of course.
And there's just so much disgust. And there's always frustration with the ads. I mean, the negative ads, the good guy is in full color with a family, the bad guy is in grainy black and white with an ominous voice. Yes. And that formula works. But what's the concern, especially in the 3rd District, which, is generally Republican, but it's been known to elect Democrats. I mean, Dennis Moore served for quite a while. There may be a lot of people just throw their hands up in the air and say, forget it. I don't like Hillary. I don't like Trump. I'm just not even going to show up. What do they need to know?
Well, I think they need to know that there's a lot at stake. Coming up on Tuesday, we're going to decide whether we're going to elect a corrupt Clinton president and bring all of this FBI investigation and all these scandals and all this pay to play into the White House, whether they're okay with that. If they are, then maybe stay home. Whether we want Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker of the House again. If you've looked at this presidential election and you're frustrated with the choices, just think about waking up on the day after the election and not only has Hillary Clinton won the presidency, but Chuck Schumer's the majority leader and Nancy Pelosi's Speaker of the House again.
Dear Lord.
I mean, Katie barred the door, batten down the hatches, because if we thought they hit us hard when President Obama was elected and they took over government and they did Obamacare and Dodd-Frank and the stimulus and all those things that we're still dealing with today, just think what they could do if they got back in there again and controlled all the levers of government. And by the way, appointing a Supreme Court. And that may be the ultimate, issue here is that the next president, and if the Senate confirms, will be able to appoint 2, 3, 4 Supreme Court justices that will be here for decades.
Now, on Friday, the director of the FBI turned over information to Congress concerning a laptop of Anthony Weiner that has 650,000 emails. Fox News last night reported that inside sources say many of these are not duplicates. This is new stuff. What happens if Hillary Clinton is elected president and she is indicted? Where does Congress go from that? What's going to happen?
I start with the fact that I hope she's not elected president. We've got to work on that premise for at least the next 5 days.
Yes, sir.
And then look, I mean, if the FBI indicts her and she's facing criminal charges, I mean, we'd be in pretty unprecedented territory, you know, with our own FBI pushing criminal charges on our president. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but yeah. I would tell you that Congress is not going to let up, that we're going to investigate and uncover the truth and make sure that the American people know what's actually occurring here. The more we learn, the more disturbing and frustrating and angering I think it's becoming to everyone.
I'm hearing from friends through the media that there are a good number of people who are thoroughly frustrated with the Clintons and their corruption in the FBI, in the NSA, all of these organizations. Do you feel like are you hearing any of that? Because it sounds like you've got leader of the FBI, you've got the attorney general putting a lid on things until after the election. And it sounds like there's an undercurrent of people going, if you're not going to do something, then we're going to be heard.
Yeah, I think we're hearing that. I mean, reading the same things that you're seeing in the news. Congress has been out of session now for several weeks, so we haven't been in a position where we can actually bring people in and have them testify to this. But I think beyond all of the issues with Hillary Clinton that continue to grow, we need to make sure that the FBI is fair and impartial, and they're conducting these investigations. And a lot of people thought in July, when the FBI director came out and essentially said, you know, she's been sloppy and she's maybe not violated the letter, but the spirit of the law, and that, you know, a lot of people thought that those charges should move forward and were very frustrated and thought the fix was in. You know, I think everybody's had a complaint about how this has been treated, and we want our, you know, Justice Department to be fair and impartial and bring people to justice. And I don't know if that's been occurring.
We're talking to Congressman Kevin Yoder. Before we take a break here, are you pushing to see the yoga pants and the wedding planning emails?
No.
Okay. Let's do a break. We're going to come back with House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and Kevin Yoder. Your calls are welcome. 576-7710. Put an 816 or a 913 in front of them if you'd like to text us. Traffic and weather now.
We now return you to Carson in the Morning.
Now we really have to work on the show.
Nobody escapes unharmed.
On KCMO.
All right. I'll tell you what, this is big time today. We got Congressman Kevin Yoder in the studio. We got House Majority Whip Steve Scalise in the studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great, Rob. Good to be with you.
We were just talking, my producer and I were just talking a little while ago. I believe that Kevin Spacey was House Majority Whip in the beginning of House of Cards.
That's right. He had to do a few things along the way to become president. I can't say whether or not we do those things in the Whip office now, but
like put somebody in front of a train or something. I haven't watched the show very much. I'm not a big fan of it. My son and my wife are absolutely nuts about it. But you're from Louisiana.
Yeah, I represent some of the city of New Orleans and all the suburbs of New Orleans. So a lot of great food down there.
Yeah.
And a lot of great folks.
There is a tie here in Missouri. Missouri is, we embrace Mardi Gras. If you've ever been to St. Louis, Mardi Gras, it's fantastic. And just this area, crawfish boil is kind of a big deal, at least where I, in my circles.
Nothing like a good crawfish boil. Right kind of seasoning is what you need in there.
You bet. One of the things, gentlemen, that I have said about this election is that I mentioned this years ago, about 3 years ago, that the American people are sick and tired of being told how to live their lives by people who spend their entire lives doing it. It is all I think about anti-establishment politics and tired of people going to Washington, D.C., becoming part of the steakhouse set, landing big book deals, landing whatever thing out when they're out of office. I think there's a lot of that. It certainly happened in the Republican Party this year in a big way. That's what Donald Trump's candidacy is all about. It would have happened on the Democrat side, but it was fixed against Bernie Sanders. You guys have been in Congress not very long. How long have you been in Congressman Scalise?
8 years ago, okay. I got elected.
All right. And Kevin, how are you?
This is just finished my third term.
Third
years.
Term. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, like I said, maybe would just look at everybody in D.C. as part of the establishment. You, I don't. I believe you are part of a new, younger movement in the House. Do you see that if Donald Trump wins, that the younger GOP will make some real change happen. Go ahead.
Well, I think so. You know, we have a lot of young non-political types that have come to D.C. to try to make a difference. Small business owners, people that were farmers and car salesmen, whatever. The people who've created jobs and know the importance of how the economy grows and believe that the government ought to serve the people and not the other way around. And so we've got young leaders, energetic leaders that want to change things and want to make a difference. And Steve's here this morning, you know, from Louisiana. He's the third in line in terms of the leadership in the House. He's been in there just 8 years. You know, the old thing was you've been there 20 or 30 years before you get to a position like that. And we're also a lot younger than the leaders on the Democratic side.
And if you look at it, you know, one of the things we've been trying to do is get Washington out of the way, return more power back to the people, get back to the constitutional foundation of this country. And you see a huge clash in Washington between those of us, Kevin, myself, who want to really start rolling back the regulations that are killing jobs, so many of these mandates and laws like Obamacare that are killing jobs and costing people more money. And on the Democrat side, you're seeing a bigger push, and Nancy Pelosi leads this charge. It's why we cannot let Nancy Pelosi become Speaker again, because in her first those first 2 years of Barack Obama's presidency when Pelosi was Speaker, they did Dodd-Frank, which has killed our local community banks. They did Obamacare, which is, I mean, you're seeing on average over 25% increases next year in what we're paying for health care. Doctors are getting out of the practice of medicine. There is a better way to do this. We want to return that power back to the people, get back to our constitutional foundation. That's going to make this country great again. So, you know, this is what we're fighting for. But we're fighting against people who really, literally, as you saw with Hillary Clinton, they want to grow this welfare state even bigger.
And they've been there a long time, and they're entrenched. Yeah. And I think Steve mentioned earlier, you know, that the leadership before we were on the air, the leadership in the House on the Republican side is 20 years younger than the leadership on the Democratic side. They've been there a long time. They believe in the power of government to grow and solve problems through government solutions. And we believe in the power of the people, and that as government grows, our individual liberty and freedom shrink.
And Rob, think about this. Yeah. Kevin Yoder just passed a bill a few months ago called the Email Privacy Act. It's a bill he's been pushing for years now. Finally got it to the House floor, passed overwhelmingly. Under current law, and especially under IRS rules today, they view your personal email as their ability to go read it. They think it's public domain, where if you've got an email that's out there on a third-party server, the federal government right now is reading your emails. People didn't even know about that it was going on. Kevin started leading the charge, filed a bill to stop the federal government from doing it without a warrant, and it actually passed the House of Representatives. That took leadership. That's taken power away from Washington bureaucrats, abusing our rights and our privacy.
Talking to Congressman Kevin Yoder and House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Mike Ferguson, did you have a question for the gentleman? We're live streaming on my Facebook page, but go ahead.
Yeah, and by the way, you can send us questions on here. Marcus will get to your question in just a minute. But Congressman, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, obviously you've got your challenges on when it comes to the issues. If Donald Trump's elected, you've got a political newcomer who's never been in this kind of position before. How do you, as leaders in Congress, work with him and help teach him the ropes when he's got all these major, huge national and international decisions to make?
Well, first of all, we put an agenda together. It's called A Better Way. You can go to better.gop. It shows how you can get the economy back on track, how you can get government out of the way, how you can rein in these crazy regulations that are killing jobs. And when we sat down with Donald Trump, our leadership team, a few months ago after he became the nominee, we laid this out to him. We said, look, you know, we put a bill on Barack Obama's desk to gut Obamacare, defund Planned Parenthood. Barack Obama vetoed it. Would you sign that bill? He said, absolutely. We said, we have a bill called the RAINS Act, which says no unelected bureaucrat should literally be able to write law like they do today, where an unelected bureaucrat can come up with a regulation that'll crush jobs, send jobs to foreign countries, and yet, you know, unless we get a bill signed by the president to overturn it, it goes through. Our bill, the RAINS Act, says if an unelected bureaucrat comes up with a bad regulation, it has to come back to Congress first and be passed or killed. And he would sign that bill. So, I mean, the things that it would take to actually get the economy moving again, where we've filed legislation, passed legislation that Obama's vetoed, that's where you've got a big difference. Because Hillary Clinton wants to keep this large government. Look, she wanted a single-payer system. And Nancy Pelosi, who Kevin's opponent wants to have as speaker again, Nancy Pelosi is the one who said you got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. We know what's in it. It's horrible policy. It's killing jobs, it's killing good health care, and it's raising costs on families.
A lot of Republicans say that the GOP has not done anything to stop Obama's agenda. What are you going to do if Hillary Clinton is in? Goes into office and is the president? What are you going to do to stop some of her radicalism? Is there anything you can do, gentlemen?
Yeah, we can absolutely stop any new policies from coming. But if you want to overturn bad law like Dodd-Frank, like Obamacare, which we want to do, again, we put a bill on the president's desk to get rid of Obamacare. The individual mandate, employer mandate, gone, all of that. Obama vetoed the bill. Hillary Clinton would veto that same bill. You know, and obviously you need a president who's willing to work with us. That's why this election is so important, because the country is going to make this decision. You know, and obviously, you know, the people of Kansas, I think, are going to do the right thing like the people of Louisiana, but you've got a lot of states where it's swinging back and forth, and this matters.
Congress, Yoder, can you defund some of these things? That's the one thing people have been saying about Congress. Why can't you defund these things?
Yeah, we can, and we have done. We've cut the EPA back. We've cut the IRS back. We've been able to reduce spending on some of these big bloated programs. We're spending less money today than when Nancy Pelosi left the House speakership in 2010 in terms of our discretionary spending. So we are making a difference there. But it's been really tough when we get blocked by the Senate because they don't have a filibuster-proof majority. And I think the filibuster rule needs to go. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think that's holding up the will of the majority of the country. Yep. And so we got that. But listen, if we don't get the presidency, we're still probably going to get hit with a lot of regulations and bureaucrats that have powers that are unmitigated by Congress over the years. We've got to fix that. And if there's one thing we could fix with the next president, is his reigning in these executive powers and yes. putting power back in the hands of the American
there's
people.
There's a righteous anger, gentlemen. You mm-hmm. know that as well as I do. Mm-hmm. There is a righteous anger in this country.
Understandably.
I'm part of it. I'm mm-hmm. sick
I'm
and
part of it, too.
Sick yeah. and damn tired of it, guys. You know, people need you to be their champions in this next turn, no matter what happens. And despite the downside of Donald Trump, I always say the future of the country is more important than Donald Trump's past. In closing, gentlemen, let's just tell you where you're going next, because we've only got 60 seconds. Where are you guys going next?
So we've got a whole morning. We're going to meet with some grassroots activists here in a little bit. We'll be out at some local businesses. We'll be out in Olathe at the chamber meeting. We're going to do some meetings with mental health services in the community. Yeah. We're all around. Lots of small business visits, and we're going to be at KU later today talking about medical research. I mean, the thing is, this district is growing. There's mm-hmm. so many awesome things happening here, and we're going to highlight that. Today's the kickoff. For the next 5 days, we're going to be on the Yoder Voter Tour talking to people all across the district.
All right. I hope you realize – you guys, I feel like, because you're younger, I feel like if we get Donald Trump in the office, some great things are going to happen. We need people to get out, though. We need to get people to go. By the way, how do you suppose early voting is going? I know it's massive.
Well, it's going really well. Yeah, okay. I mean, people are coming out in droves, and hopefully that's an indication of a high turnout on Election Day. Do you still believe
that favors the GOP?
Yeah, we think so. We think there are a lot of people that maybe haven't voted in previous elections because they haven't felt like there was a candidate who spoke to them, and they're coming out to vote. But we need everyone listening. You've got to vote. And if we don't get a high turnout on this election and we hand the reins of government over to Clinton and Pelosi, we will be regretting it for the next 4, 8, maybe decades with the Supreme Court. Yeah, okay. This is critical. We've got to get people to turn out to vote.
Very good. Thanks for your time today, gentlemen. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight, man. We need you to do it. Congressman Kevin Yoder, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, thanks for making the time. By the way, Steve, happy birthday.
Belated birthday. Happy birthday to you.
October the 6th here, October 23rd.
Just a week away.
Same year. Living large since 1965. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
gentlemen. We appreciate it. Carson in the morning, back up to the top of the hour.